Well, good morning. Thank you for being with us here this morning on Galesburg Live. In this hour, we're going to talk about the life and legacy of a Galesburg boxing legend, a former police officer here, Sonny Duncan, who passed away recently. Our guest this morning to talk more about him. First off, his brother Carlos, who we all know, Carlos Duncan. Good morning, Carlos. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom.
Thank you for coming in with us this morning.
Nope.
A longtime friend of Sonny, Jim Jacobs. Jim, good morning. How are you today?
Fine, Tom.
Thanks so much for coming in. And a friend and a longtime co-worker on the Galesburg Police Department with Sonny is John Slough. John, good morning. How are you today?
Just fine. Thank you, and good morning.
Thanks for coming in with us. Well, first off, Carlos, obviously our condolences to you and your family. And first off, talk a little bit about growing up and Sonny as a person and Sonny as the brother that the rest of us didn't know about.
How long do we have this morning?
I know. You could probably go for days on that.
Right. No, seriously, I don't know who I was talking to. Maybe it was Jim the other night at the gym. But personally, I feel if I put in the dictionary a picture of a brother, it was Sonny would be there. We had a couple disagreements along the way, as anybody, siblings do. But he was always my protector. Later in life, when he got married, he was my big brother and protector, as I said. And anywhere we went, it was always, well, you're Sonny's brother, so you okay?
Well, and I'm guessing on the sports front, on the boxing front, obviously your dad was the biggest influence, but I'm guessing Sonny had a pretty big influence on you as well when it came to that.
You know, look at things nowadays, and the kids are, who's your big guy? Well, LeBron James, and they name off all these superstars, football, whoever. And seriously, I had two, my dad and Sonny. And just like I said, I really feel fortunate that it worked out that way. And I tell the kids, when they talk to me, well, they can reach out and touch me. And that's what I had with my brother and dad. I had a problem, well, reach out and touch him, and they always give me the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Jim Jacobs, I know not a brother by blood, but I'm guessing you were a good enough friend with Sonny that you kind of felt like brothers in a lot of ways.
Yes, we did. And over the past half century, except for my wife, Sonny was the best friend I had. And he would, my kids came to love him too, my two daughters. I remember one time. My daughter was going to go to one of the dances at the high school with this young man, older daughter, and he called her up and said, well, decided to go with somebody else.
Ooh.
And
uh-oh.
She cried and cried, and she said, Sonny, Dad, can you call Sonny and have him go arrest this guy? And I said, well, I don't think that's going to be possible.
but obviously, just like Carlos said, as a kind of a protector, as a big brother, kind of a protector as a second dad as well.
Yeah, and he was a brother to me. Yeah.
How did you and Sonny first meet?
Well, I first knew of Sonny when I would go to the Y as a kid, and. I came from a family. My grandfather lived with us, and he was a big boxing fan. And so there used to be at the old Y downtown, Swings Apartments now, there was a little room off the side of the basketball court. And I heard these sounds coming from there, the slap of a rope, the rhythm of the speed bag, the heavy bag being hit. And I went in there, and there was this black guy. Black young man that I just was astounded at what he could do as a boxer. I mean, I'd seen Sugar Ray Robinson late in his career as a middleweight, and I had seen Willie Pep a time or two past his peak, but still very good. And I said, who is this guy? And he said, well, it's Sonny Duncan. And he's slipping punches, and he's, I mean, fighting him was like trying to stamp out a grass fire. I mean, it was. And so later on, when I came back, I found out he was running a boxing program, and I called him up and asked if I could help, and he said, sure. And I went down to the Carver Center, and it was in the 70s, and we became, from that point on, I learned about Sonny the Man. Sonny the Man.
And we'll talk more about that coming up. Yeah. Also, John Schlaff, and you're kind of on this topic of brothers, and in some ways brothers in arms, and you know, you have interesting stories of coming up together on the police force, and you know, a lot of racial tensions in the 1960s, and coming up, something you didn't necessarily think about, but when you guys went to training together, you were together as roommates, and you really didn't think twice about it.
Well, that's very true. But you know, and before I go there, I've got to tell you, hearing Jim tell that story about the young man that stood up very much unwisely, I might add, his daughter on that dance, explains a lot of things, because Sonny asked me one night to go with him. He wanted to give a young man a ride, have a little talk with him, and now I realize that was probably the guy that.
Probably.
Take care of it in nonviolent ways, right?
I think you got the point, if I remember correctly. But no, you're absolutely right. My opportunity to meet Sonny, kind of going back to your question to Jim, was just within yards of the location we're in right now. It was in the hallway over here at the old police department, which was famously known as down the alley behind City Hall. And we ended up riding together every weekend to the University of Illinois at the Police Training Institute. And so we made that drive every weekend for several months, and then we roomed together in a dorm down at the university, and then of course attended classes together. So
now, had you known him at all before that, or did you first meet him when you guys started together on the police force?
First met him when we started on the police department together, and we were virtually side by side as far as going on the police department. His ID number, and we didn't. The department really didn't start issuing ID numbers until the 1970s, but ultimately, the ID number that he got was 22. Mine was 23. So we were side by side.
Well, and it seems like the story you mentioned about, you know, giving a young man a ride and talking to him a little bit, that was kind of, it seemed like his style. I guess in some ways it's prevention, trying to keep somebody out of trouble before they get into trouble. It seemed like maybe that was kind of his style in some ways.
Well, I think very much so. One of the things that we tried to talk about on the department years ago was what we referred to as enhanced traditional policing, kind of a spinoff of community policing and so forth. But a lot of that was just trying to learn the people that were in your neighborhoods, trying to learn the people that you were dealing with, and spending time talking rather than, in some cases, doing. And Sonny was a great talker and was always willing to listen and try to come to some resolution that was peaceful, yet would be appropriate for the circumstances.
You know, in that same vein, Carlos, you know, Galesburg Youth Athletic Club, which you run, and that's a lot of your mission there. And I'm guessing a lot of that came, you know, starting with your father and your brother as well, that, you know, boxing is it's an outlet, but it's an opportunity to teach kids not only about boxing, about life and right and wrong.
Matter of fact, that's very true again. We have them, I'll say, in the gym for an hour and a half. And if all we're concentrating on is just straight punches, the basic of boxing, I feel we're not doing our job. I've said that anywhere I go and give clinics and so forth, that was pretty much the lesson was, let's work with our life skills. When Dad started, he started with the older guys. We were still there, but there was no programs for the younger kids. We used to put on exhibitions at the Armory, all the little clubs here in Galesburg, and that was our big thing. Matter of fact, the older boxers used to get mad at us because people would throw money into the ring, and we'd count it up, and they'd look at, I think it was $20 for a senior boxer and $10 for a novice boxer. And we're over there counting our money. And they're looking at it. But it was fun. We got a lot of good experience. And then when Sonny came on to start working with the kids, he knew there was a need to work with our juveniles, give them an alternative to the drugs and so forth, right? And you can do that in so many different ways. But best is nice and quiet. You, if something goes wrong, you pull them into the office and you can talk to them. And they get the message that way. But that hollering and so forth. Matter of fact, the statistic is our organized sports start at 8 years old here in the United States. By the time a kid is 13, 14 years old, we've lost 67% of them. And you say, wow, that's a big percentage.
Yeah.
Never want to play any more organized sports or anything. And you look at it, why? Well, first off, I go down there because Jim's there. He's my buddy. Okay, so let's have some fun and learn some of the skills of boxing. And they get it, go in there, and the coach is hollering and screaming at me and so forth. I got that at home when I left in the morning. You got to go to school. You got to do it. You go to the school, and you're getting basically the same thing. Maybe you know, not hollering, screaming, but no, you can't do this, you so forth. And then you go to a place where you're supposed to have fun and learn, and then you hear it there. Hey, forget this. That little girl over there looked kind of cute. I want to take her to the prom.
The other things to do, right? Too many other things to take your mind away if you're not invested in it because you're not getting, you know, maybe some of the love you need.
Yeah, exactly.
And kind of that same thing, Jim. You talked about you know, getting to know Sonny as a man and being with him at the gym. Kind of talk about that and watching and seeing him work with and talk to and mentor kids.
Well, the first thing I would say is I think he really revealed himself as Sonny the Man. It was 1976. It was over the Easter weekend, spring vacation or whatever they called it. And we went down to the center, and it was closed. And we just sat down on the, Sonny and I just sat down on the steps there at the Carver Center, and we began to talk. And Sonny said, he said, the boxing is really secondary here. He said, it's the vehicle that gets the kids to be good citizens. He said, that's what we're really interested in. He said, sure, we want them to win. We want them to know all of the fundamentals of boxing. We want them to know the discipline. But he said, we want that to carry over into making them good citizens. And that, when I realized this is quite an individual here. And he really cared about the fighters, the boxers, from the smallest boxer. And as Carlos said, used to begin in the silver gloves at 8 and 9 year olds was the first class. I don't know what it is anymore. And 10 and 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And then you move on into golden gloves. And Sonny, safety first. That has been the Duncan motto, I think, still carried on by Carlos. And Sonny never raised his voice. I don't know if you saw in the paper recently, Mike Trueblood had interviewed Joe Dennis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Joe says, I never heard him yell. Never heard him yell. No cussing, no cursing allowed in the gym or in the corner. We had a trainer one time that had come on, and he had a kid that he was working the corner for, and he started cussing at the kid, and the kid turns and says, hey. He says, you're not supposed to cuss at me. I'm going to tell Sonny.
That probably stopped it right there.
And it did. So,
oh, okay.
Anyway.
Well, Jim Jacobs, that's the voice of Jim Jacobs, a longtime friend of the late Sonny Duncan. Also joining us this morning, Sonny's brother Carlos, and also friend and co-worker John Schlaff. We're going to talk more about Sonny, the man, the legacy, and get into a little bit about Sonny, the boxer, too, coming up. We're going to take a break here. It's 8:28. This is Galesburg Live. This is Galesburg Live. Thanks for being with us here this morning, talking about the passing of Sonny Duncan, Galesburg boxing legend, former police officer here, coached on the Olympic boxing team as well. Our guest this morning, his brother Carlos Duncan, joining us. One of his former co-workers and friend, John Schlaff, also another friend, and worked with him a lot on with the kids, Jim Jacobs. And you know, before we get into Sonny the boxer, John, I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about, we were kind of talking about Sonny the man a little bit, and how he worked with the kids and helped mentor them. And I'm guessing as a police officer and later as a police chief, you know, obviously, you know, not everybody's perfect. There are kids that didn't stay on the right track. But you had to appreciate, especially as being a police officer, the work he did trying to mentor the kids and hope you'll never see them on your end of things in your job.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've, Jim and I, Carlos and I have addressed and talked a little bit about what great things he did for the community as an individual. He did some great things for the community as a police officer, in that I think if it wouldn't have been for him, absolutely, if it wouldn't have been for him, the police department would not have been involved in the boxing program like it was. I think our involvement with the boxing program here in Galesburg was probably the best program that the police department has ever been involved in, and I'm saddened that we don't have a stronger support within the department now, and that's not anything other than the fact that this time changed and circumstances changed, and of course we don't have a Sonny Duncan. We do have Carlos, but I can't tell you how much we all enjoyed, and I think the community benefited by Sonny's involvement that way with the police department, with the boxing program. There's many, many a young person that went through that program that benefited greatly. And each of us that took part in it in some small way, I think we benefited from that too.
Carlos, Jim mentioned earlier about first seeing your brother and watching him work out and seeing what amazing skills he had. I'm guessing you, as the younger brother, obviously, as you said, you idolized him a little bit, and you were probably amazed a little bit. Talk about your brother as a boxer. You know, it's really interesting and strange nowadays. We don't see or hear the press about silver gloves and golden gloves like we used to, and not that it's not still a huge deal. It is. But, you know, as far as the amateur side, well, when the Olympics come around, we'll watch it. But you hear obviously more about professional boxing. But that, it was such a huge thing, and it still is. I mean, especially for those young people that are able to get to that level that your brother did. I mean, how amazing is it that your brother was actually a Golden Gloves champion?
Yeah, well, it goes from dad on down.
Right.
And so forth. But to see... again, reach out and touch the skills that Dad had, the skills that Sonny had, and the skills that I lacked.
Oh, come on.
No,
none of us want to square off with you, Carlos, still.
No, but to sit there and watch Sonny go through his moves and so forth, it was, I remember one particular night, Dad said, okay, well, I want you to work on a 1-2-1 and step around. And a couple seconds later, Sonny had his hand up. Dad, come check me out. And Sonny had it perfect. 2 weeks later, I raised up my hand. Dad, I think I got it. And I try to tell people, I said, it's not a matter of me being slow or whatever. Everybody learns differently. And to have the time to work with these kids that are a little bit slower. We have slow bloomer. I mean, what do you call it? Late bloomers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that Jim has seen quite a few kids that come in. Well, Joe, you talk about Joe Dennis that came in. He was right, wanted to go right in and punch. and okay, now we need to slow this down. There's a process, but to have the patience to go through that, those stages, that necessary stages, and he turned out to be a national champion, didn't he?
Regional champion, okay. And he, yeah. He won the Region 6 championship in Huntington, West Virginia, and at 13. And at that time, 13-year-olds in the AAU tournament didn't move on to the nationals.
Okay.
And we had the closest we came to a national champion was Ted Dawson, who lost a 3-2 decision in the national championship of the Silver Gloves. But he, yeah, Joe Dennis was – became a very good boxer.
Well, and Carlos, you talked about, obviously, your brother had some great God-given natural talent, but just like you mentioned LeBron James or a Michael Jordan, those guys do also, but it's that work ethic that puts them over the top to where they were. And it sounds like Sonny is one of those people. Yes, he had the God-given ability, but he put the work in, too.
Matter of fact, is I have an after-school program, and one of the girls, I asked her, what did she want to do? And she said she wanted to be a lawyer. Oh, that's great. And I told her, okay, you're in Lombard now, 7th, 8th grade, whatever. Okay, so you have 4 more years there. And I said, then what are you going to do? Well, become a lawyer. No. It's not that quick. You have 4 years of college, and then you have law school. And her eyes are getting bigger, like, wow, it's not. And I said, no, it's going to be a while before you can put a shingle on the door and call yourself a lawyer and make pretty good money, and you're going to be working for somebody else. And I told her, I said, there's times I could not run less than 10 miles when I was doing my road work, because that was just automatic. And she said, didn't you get tired? I said, yes, I got tired, pretty tired, but that's what we had to do in order to be successful at what we were doing. And her eyes, I mean, she was really amazed that there was no magic wand or whatever that you just.
Right.
But I said, yeah, there's work involved.
Yeah.
Well, and if you're not.
Well, I'm guessing some of your work ethic got from watching your dad and brothers. Like, okay,
right.
This is what I have to do to get to that level I want to be at.
Right. Exactly. Because Dad, for the biggest part, would do most things with us as the kids and so forth. But Sonny got to the point where he knew that it took extra. I watched him and Art Wilburn and some of the other boxers, and I said, well, if I'm going to be doing this, I didn't like it. But we had no choice. Sonny and I, we just figured, okay, well, Dad, we're going to the gym. And as Jim said, you walk into a gym and you hear somebody hitting the speed bag, the heavy bag, thump, 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 and somebody over here skipping rope. And I'm just sitting there, man, this is cool, listening.
Right.
And then he said, okay, get the gloves on. Well, I don't see no baseball glove. I don't see, whatever. So I guess he means the boxing gloves. And this little kid, I don't mean it in a mad, bad way, but the little blonde-headed, blue-eyed kid, he put me in every corner of the little YMCA boxing gym. And, of course, I told Sonny, I ain't going here tomorrow. And I didn't have a choice, of course. So Dad pulled me aside. He said, I understand that you don't want to go to the gym. No, that little kid, let him know what had happened. And, well, I seen it too. But he said, you got to come up with a formula. I'm thinking 8, 9, 10 years old, I don't know exactly what it was, a formula. I'm sure there was Formula One cars and all these other things.
Right.
But so anyway, he said, you got to throw punches and move. And then he showed me to do. So, okay, I didn't particularly care for it, but we did pretty good.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we did pretty good because he taught us the basic fundamentals. I told a kid last night, I said, where do we start at the three little pigs? What happened? Well, first little pig with straw, the second little pig, I said, right. And this other little pig over there, John, was really sweating, and I mean, he was just going at it. But he could build a good foundation. He built a good foundation. He could have went 10 stories. And the kid, like, oh, yeah, right. But that's where it all starts. Absolutely. And having the time to work with the kids and let them know, yes, you can, but it takes time. And raising your voice is not going to get it done, because that could alter the kid's whole life. And this is what coaches and teachers and parents don't understand. Hey, take your time. Explain, how do you take care of a solution?
Right.
You have to find out what the problem is, and then you can come up with a solution. So, again, it's just I had my brother, Sonny, would always pull me aside. Okay, I don't think you need to do this, Dad or Mom. And Sonny was doing a lot of things that I was supposed to do. I was the youngest. Cutting grass. I cut grass, and my eyes would be all puffed up. So Sonny would be doing it. And one particular time, he didn't do it. He was at that age where he was doing other things.
He had to settle up.
Yeah. And Dad comes home. He said, I thought you were supposed to be doing the yard today. And I looked at Mom, and Sonny wasn't there at the time. And she said, Dad said, get the lawnmower, let's go. So by the time I went down from here to the Weinberg Arcade, I come back and my eyes were closed. Dad gummit. That was Dad's cuss word.
Mm-hmm.
But we got the message real quick.
Right.
But it was just one of those things that I always had a big brother.
Yep. And always here to help you out, and for the most part, and bail you out as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we walked around back in the old days always looking over somebody's our shoulders, because Mr. Jacobs, Sloth, or whoever, they could take care of us right there on the spot. And then we still got another one when we got home.
Right.
And
right.
So we learned, and it didn't hurt us.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if anything, it made us better individuals. Somebody mentioned looking at some of the kids. I don't know if you remember a young lady named Sarah Woods.
Mm-hmm.
She came into the gym. She wasn't a great boxer, but her work ethics. I'm trying to think that there's other, when they walk in the gym, you can see that there's some potential, not because they're so bulk or anything, but they're willing to learn, listen, and learn. And when you got kids like that, well, they turn out to be a Ted Dawson, a Joe Dennis, and so forth and so on.
That's the voice of Carlos Duncan talking about his brother, the late Sonny Duncan, passed away recently. Also, Jim Jacobs, John Schlaff joining us here this morning. Talk more a little bit about Sonny as a boxer and more coming up. It is 8:46. This is Galesburg Live. This is Galesburg Live. Thanks for joining us here this morning, talking about the life and legacy of Galesburg boxing legend Sonny Duncan, who passed away recently. His brother Carlos joining us, former friend and co-worker John Schlaff, and former friend Jim Jacobs. And Jim, we were talking about Sonny as a boxer, and you talked about first time seeing him before you met him, going into the gym and seeing the skills of a young man like that. Talk about, as you got older, watching him, what it is that you saw from him as a boxer.
Well, he had the complete package. He could, first of all, he came, all young people come into the gym. Each of them has a certain set of assets that they bring with them. In Sonny's case, he was extremely quick, very coordinated. He was a thinker, and he would anticipate several moves ahead. And then he understood hard work, the conditioning, that lays the foundation, the fundamentals. But then he also learned things like slipping punches. In fact, I don't know if anybody could slip a punch better than Sonny. And he also had the true definition of counterpunching. You'll hear people say, well, he's a great counterpuncher, so-and-so is. And they say, well, he can take a punch and then give one back. That is not counterpunching. Counterpunching is making the other guy, the other person, I should say, miss, and then making them pay for missing, hitting them back, punching them back with the appropriate punch. Sonny was a master at that, and tremendous. Also, a good puncher. He would tell you, he said, I'm not a power puncher. I'm a shock puncher. There's shock punchers. There's power punchers. Art Wilburn was a power puncher. Sonny was a shock puncher. Now, shock punchers, they may not knock you down or knock you out with one punch, but what they do is they when they hit you with a combination, they kind of nail your feet to the floor, and that's when they really go to work on you. And in some ways, a shock puncher can be more effective than a power puncher, although Art puts combinations together. And I mean, the thing about Art was the big I remember Kenny Sharp from Pekin went the distance with him. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing. He said, I went the distance with Art Wilburn. Can you imagine that? I went the distance with Art Wilburn, you know. So,
yeah.
But Sonny was terrific. He just and I think it was, I always felt he'd made a great pro.
Well, we were just talking about that off the air because I asked. I didn't know if he had actually fought professionally or not and just won – bout, and people go, gosh, he was a Golden Gloves champ, and that was it, and probably was talented enough to move on and do really well professionally. Yeah. But Jim, you were talking about how tough it was. You know, one, and I don't care what the sport is. I mean, you know, you're a baseball player. You grow up. Yeah, if you don't get drafted out of high school here, where are you going to go next to showcase and play against better people or basketball? And the same thing with that. Nothing wrong with what your dad was doing here or anybody else that was fighting in the gym here or boxing out of the gym here, but you gotta practice and work with people better than you for you to get better.
Well, as I said when we were off air, Sonny would work third shift at the factory and then get in the car and drive up Old 34 to Coulon Gym in Chicago to spar with people that were really of his caliber. And I think Art had to do that, or at least up there. Your dad even moved up there for a while and moved the family up there. Something I have to say, Carlos is kind of self-deprecating. He had almost 200 pro fights and won about 150 or so of those. And was ranked number 10 in the world around 1962 as a welterweight. So let's not forget that he was a absolutely very good fighter.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Well, John, in working with Sonny, we're talking about work ethic and things. Him working with kids, but what about as a police officer working along with him? What did you see him? What stood out about Sonny as an officer here in the city of Galesburg?
Well, it goes back to something that both Carlos and Jim said, that Sonny was a thinker, and if he was confronted with a problem in a neighborhood or with an individual, he would think his way through, and that might be if somebody was in need of some assistance, he would give it. They needed something as simple as a ride home. He was going to be quick to volunteer to get that done. I think I heard Carlos say something earlier about, hey, let's stop and think about this a little bit and see what we can do to make it right. And I think that he learned as part of his boxing program, he carried over into his law enforcement duties. And again, much like he served the boxing community well, I think he served the police department and the Galesburg community well with that kind of approach to problems.
Well, I think people don't realize as a police officer, your job, you know, first you're kind of a diffuser, and it seems like that he was really good at that, diffusing the situation, because always thinking, and just like what Jim said in boxing, thinking two or three moves ahead. He was ready if something else, if it didn't work, but always there to diffuse and work it out calmly.
Well, you know, you're right. Sometimes there may be some that would believe that being a boxer would be a great benefit as far as being able to use those boxing skills on the street as a police officer. Nothing could really be further from the truth. Yeah. That's a very, very small part of what an individual officer will have to do. What really counts is being able to think through, approach problems, solve problems. That's what has to be done. Now, to say that you're not involved in some, you know, altercations from time to time, it happens. Generally speaking, there's more wrestling than there is boxing as for a police officer. Every now and then, I think he had a disadvantage because some people who would know him would know of his background, and much like, you know, the Top Gun, somebody wanted to try him out, and
that was a mistake, but that was his disadvantage. That he had to, okay, I, at some point, you have to defend yourself.
Yeah. And it again, rarely happened. I can recall in my time with him, I think only once, and I think I was trying to say, I think this guy's going to resist, and by the time I got it out, he wasn't resisting. I've never seen anybody any faster. And Sonny, I'm certainly a novice, but his hands were fast.
Sonny Duncan passed away. Services, by the way, a memorial service for Sonny will be held coming up on the 31st, which will be next Friday at First Baptist Church here in Galesburg, 11 o'clock in the morning, burial 2 o'clock at Oaklawn Cemetery. And Carlos, I know, and it can't be easy for you to be in here and talk about, but you've got so many great memories of your brother that hopefully a little bit of therapy for you.
You know, little things like that when, you know, you, just get kind of choked up. But
understand.
Again, LeBron and all these other superstars, that's all fine. But, again, I had the beauty of being able to reach out and touch him, and sometime he would anticipate. That's something else. In boxing, you have to be able to think and anticipate what this guy's going to be doing. And that was Sonny also. He would, if you keep doing this, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to pay the price.
Right. There's an immediate, and again, this is what you have from boxing.
Right.
There's an immediate consequence. If you don't want to listen, don't say nothing when the guy takes your head
off. Absolutely. Carlos, thank you so much for it. Really appreciate you taking some time. Jim, thank you as well.
Appreciate my pleasure. It.
John, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Again, the memorial service will be Friday, next Friday, 11 a.m., First Baptist Church here in Galesburg for Galesburg legend Sonny Duncan.